peace. Everyone is looking for it, but the only place you'll find true and lasting peace is right here in God's Word. Join us as we go back to God's Word on this edition of Abounding Grace with our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon. Welcome to Abounding Grace, the ministry of United Reformed Church here in Linden. And indeed, it is abounding grace that we seek and find here in God's Word. We would invite you to join us for the next few minutes as our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon, brings us back to God's Word that we might find that peace, that encouragement for the day, that challenge to follow hard after Christ. For this edition of Abounding Grace now, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
So very grateful you've tuned in to Abounding Grace Radio. Today we're studying John chapter 15, where Jesus is here assuring his disciples of his love for them, but also calling them to a new way of obedience. Now this is a fascinating section, and we opened this up yesterday by showing how Christ motivated them to this new obedience. It was motivated through his own sacrificial work. As he said, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Now I want to pick up with that today. You sit back from that and say, wait a minute. He just said he's loved me. And now it seems that he's saying that his love and friendship is contingent upon my obedience. You're my friends if. John Wesley, commenting on this verse, said, who then dares assert that God's love does not at all depend on man's works? Is that true? This is really important that we understand this carefully. Verse 15, Jesus says something, dear listener, that we should highlight, circle, and never forget. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. I want you to really feel what he is doing and saying here today. Powerful verse. I'm convinced Jesus was jolting his disciples' minds to something. James the Apostle was later really moved by this when he said this in James chapter 2. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Notice the connection there. Abraham was called a friend of God, which came as a blessing of having faith, of believing. And James describes that his works demonstrated that. But when did Abraham become a friend? Well, James cites Genesis 15. After that moment of justification, when Paul makes the case of Romans chapter 4, that the relationship was one of friendship. God had come down on judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah, and remember what he asked? Shall I hide from Abraham what I'm doing? He didn't, did he? As a friend of God, God openly talked with Abraham. God told Abraham about the judgment which was to come and about deliverance. Remember, God delivered Lot. Now here's the scene. Christ looks at his disciples and says, you are my friends. No longer am I calling you servants. A servant does not know what his master is doing. In other words, when someone has a servant, he commands him to do this or that and receives no explanation as to why. That's servitude. You know this. Your boss tells you to do something. You don't understand it or even disagree with it, and you question it. What is the probable response you'll get? You don't need to understand why. You just do it. Now, one thing I've been very convicted about, even with telling and encouraging good parenting, is this truth. That when I have a conviction about something, when we are doing something, or you're requiring your children to do something, that when they ask why, we never parent with the form of servitude. You don't ask any questions, you just do it. Because that's how it's done. The child, you know, then goes through the requirements of the parent with no understanding. And what happens to that child over time? They grow up and they end up despising the parent or awfully rebelling against the parent because there was no love. It was cold. It was cold servitude. Well, make that transfer. If that's how Christianity has been, they're never going to connect with it. You know, if Christianity has been boiled down to a bunch of rules, don't drink, don't do this, don't do that, and there's no understanding as to why. Do you know what that does in people? They react. Did you notice here in John 15 how Jesus dealt with their confused hearts? They're confused about Judas. He explained it to them. They're confused about his going away. He explains what it all meant in chapter 14. They're really troubled. And you've got a whole section of red letters here from John 14 to 17 of Jesus instructing them, explaining things to them, tenderly teaching them. But how is he doing it? Is he harsh on them? Does he browbeat them into the kingdom? Does the King of Kings and Lord of Lords force their submission? Isn't that an amazing thought? Does the God of the universe, does he whip us into shape with guilt and control, manipulation, beating down? Does that what he uses to demand and control our response? The answer to that is, amazingly, overwhelmingly, no. Why? Because that kind of speech is reserved to those, for those, who are still under the law. Slaves to sin are spoken to that way. That's what Jesus is saying here. No longer do I call you slaves, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. So in other words, those under the law are spoken to a certain kind of way, and those under grace are spoken to a certain kind of way. There are two kinds of speaking in the Bible. The word here in John chapter 15 in the Greek is doulos. You're no longer slaves. So just like Abraham, you're now my friends. Why? Jesus says, everything I heard from my Father, I've made known to you. Everything? Everything about redemption, everything about what you need to know to be saved, about your sin and God's provision for you to have a righteousness that can withstand the scrutiny of his justice, of the judgment to come. Jesus says, I've told you it all. And I'm not commanding you now as those under the law, but as friends. Keep my commandments as those who have already been loved. Did you notice the shift here? He's speaking to them as now being under grace and not under law. You know, Paul said this, you're no longer under the law, but under grace. Slaves are under the law. Friends are under grace. So this is a really important point today for how to understand the difference between law and gospel. There's a shift in speaking there predicated on his dying for them. What does speaking under the law sound like? It's rough. Do this and you'll live. Do this or else. You know, that's what you study with the nation of Israel. Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 called the ministry of the law a ministry of condemnation. Why? Because that kind of speaking kills you. There's no ability for the recipient in himself to fulfill the condition of the law, to fulfill the demands of the law. If you do these things, you will live. That's what the law said. Keep the law, and then you'll be blameless before God. But the problem is no one can. But Jesus says here, no longer do I speak to you as under the law, but now as friends. So when Jesus is saying, you're my friends, if you do what I command, the grace principle is at work. He's not speaking to them under the law. Grace makes doing a reality. Do you get that? Because under grace, who is the if dependent upon? You see, that's the point today. If you do these things, right? What does Jesus say? If you do what I command, then you'll be my friends, right? You are my friends if you do what I command. If grace is at work, the if is dependent upon Christ, who in this very section says, without me, you can do nothing. So this is really powerful today. You're chosen by me to bear fruit. And this section is about the work of the Spirit, who is given to us so that we do bear much fruit. Now we need to ponder that for a minute in closing today. You need to ponder the assurance of that he's giving them. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. No more bondage. So do you get that? The mere fact that Christ said this to them is testifying of his grace to them and to us, and an assurance of his love. You see, dear listener, they believed in Jesus. He wanted them to know and believe that now they're friends of God. They know what they need to know for salvation and life and godliness. You know, we take this for granted, don't we? Not everyone knows this today. Not everyone knows this listening right now. Perhaps you're just tuning in and you really don't know the grace of God. You really don't know the freedom this speaks of. You take the world today. How much percentage of the world knows this? The majority of the world does not know this. They are in darkness at this hour. Take the church. How much is this assurance and the gospel preached? There are entire groups that would never even preach a text like this because they don't believe you can have assurance. That's why we preach Christ from all of Scripture. When Jesus was giving parables, he said something that overwhelmed me. The disciples wanted to know why he spoke in parables. Why don't you just be clear? Make it plain for us. Jesus said, because to you it's been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but to them it has not been given. Now, if you're a Christian today, I want you to think about what he's done for you. Does the world understand how they're right before God? Does the world understand justification by faith alone? Does the world accept God's report about sin, the awful judgment to come? How many comprehend the gospel? If we believe the preaching of the gospel is the living word of Christ right now, Christ just revealed this truth to you. If you believe this, if you understand this, he's revealed this to you as a friend, telling you all you need to know to be saved. If you have faith, if you believe, that's the evidence that you've become a friend. You see, that changes everything. And Jesus wants them to understand this. The very revelation of this friendship testifies that his grace has come to them. How so? We're going to come back to this tomorrow, but here's the most amazing truth I want to leave you with today. Jesus says in verse 16, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain." The assurance here is powerful. Jesus says, none of you ever chose me in the first place. No wonder there's such little assurance today. Most think the basis of their Christianity is their choice to surrender their lives to Jesus. Jesus just said, none of you chose me. I sovereignly picked you to go out and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. It's gospel all the way through. Jesus chose us. Jesus gave us grace, and he set us apart that we would bear fruit because he enables us by his powerful life. May we believe in Jesus and know this freedom. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by the United Reformed Church here in Linden. We are a church where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. 10 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. are the worship service times on the Lord's Day. Visit us on the web at lindenurc.com. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.